Good morning. Today's daf from Baba Kama, Sadi Zion. We are on Sadi Vav Amud Beis. We are almost at the Mishnah. We're at one junction point prior to the Mishnah, Zaklal. The Gemara goes back to the Mishnah and the summary statement of the Mishnah as a general rule. Kol Gazlan Misham Kishasek Zela. So when you steal Sadi, you pay Kishasek Zela. Okay, again. And I feel like I'm in reruns, but it's okay. We're in the ninth parak, and this is Chazar, and it's basic, and it's important. You steal an item, so there's a mitzvah in the Torah. Veheshev has exela. Return the item as is. Give the item back. That's how you do tshuva. If the item is no longer there, so what do you do? So you're going to be giving the value of the item in which you stole. The value of the item in which you stole, okay? Prices fluctuate. Which value do you give? The value that was there present at the time of the exela. That's what we learned back in the Mishnah. And now it's the haklal. The Gemara is going to be commenting on the summary statement of the Mishnah because, like every summary statement of the Mishnah, you can almost count on this every time. When the Mishnah provides a summary statement, it's not just a summary statement, but obviously it's there to teach us a Chiddush. Every line of the Mishnah is there for purposes of Chiddush. And even as the Mishnah says, Zaklal, here's the rule. So that means that encoded in the Mishnah is a Chiddush. What's the Chiddush? Gemara's question.
Kol Lasu. Where are you starting from?
I'm on Sadi Vav Amud Beis, and we are at the two dots. It's about a third of the way down. So, you have an animal, and what happens to the animal? Time. An animal gets a year older, right? The Gemara gives two examples. Tlev Anasa Ayol, sheep becomes a ram. Again, for us people who are not agricultural people. So the point is that the animal just simply got a year older, right? And it moves in, it graduates in halacha to a different state of animal. These are important. I'm sure they're important in terms of commerce, but they're important in halacha regarding kachim. Certain kabbanas have to be coming from a tla. Certain kabbanas have to be coming from an ayo. Okay, anyway. So at that point in time, once it gets a year older, so now that's a kinyan. That's a shinui. That is considered enough of this physical change where you've acquired the item. You were kona. So tavach machar shalom tavach shalom mocher. On top of that, let's say you do tzvicha. So now, in order to do tzvicha, you're going to be chayav dal vehei. We spent the good part of the seventh parak of Baba Kama learning this halacha together. And meanwhile, over here, if the animal was a tla, now becomes an isle, now you shecht it, you're not going to be chayav dal vehei. You're not going to be chayav dal vehei. Correct. Because this animal over here now is your animal. The only time that you're chayv dal vehei is when, which animal did you shech? The nigzal's animal. But now that this animal underwent a shinui, it's now your animal, you're not going to be chayv dal vehei. Good. Adkan, that takes us almost to the end of this long sugya. The Gemara finishes off with a story. How gavad de gazapana de tori mechavre, alza krabu krava, zarbu zara, lesof adri lamari. So there was a person who stole a pair of oxen from his friend. And with the oxen, he worked his land, improved his land, planted the land, all with the usage of stolen pair of oxen. So they go to Rav Nachman and they ask for a din Torah in front of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman's ruling, really clear. And that is approximate. Let's do an assessment of how much improvement we're looking at. And that improvement that was done, al yidei the oxen, so now the gazlan is going to have to pay that to the owner of the oxen. Sounds fair. Now, on one hand, I say it sounds fair, but do you remember what we did in yesterday's daf? Right? Uncomfortable discussion that we had in yesterday's daf. And that is that the gazlan has kinyan egzela. And obviously, he has a requirement to return the item. But what if there's shevach created through the item that he stole? So there are a range of positions, but it seems like the accepted position is, and that is that in the very least, he's going to be able to keep either all of it, all the shevach, or a portion of the shevach, depending on what normally sharecroppers keep. Okay, so that's what we learned yesterday. So over here, Rav Nachman, on one hand, is giving what you and I would call, I'll speak for myself, what I would call a reasonable ruling, and that is that you shouldn't have stole the oxen, and any shevach that you gain from that oxen, you're going to have to return that. But as we learned in yesterday's daf, that's not the halacha. And who pushes back on Rav Nachman? Rava. Amalei Rava Tura Ashbach Arelo Ashbach. So Rava says to Rav Nachman, what do you mean? Meaning the land also improved. Meaning as long as you're doing an assessment, why don't you do an assessment on the land as well? So Amar Mikamina Nishami Kulei Palga Kamina. So Rav Nachman says, no, I wasn't talking about a full assessment, meaning not the entire Sheva Chasada, but just a portion of it, half. So the Amar Lei Sof Sof Gzelehu, so Kahadra Be'ene, so Didnan, Kol Gazla Misham Kshasa Gzela. So the Gemara says, okay, but once again, I turn back to the Mishnah. And what did the Mishnah teach us? Our Mishnah taught us is that when you're a Gazlan, so in order to make restitution, what do you need to do? All you need to do is return the item that you stole. Alternatively, the value of the item that you stole, period. You do not have to give 1 cent above that. The simple reading of the Mishnah is that if there's any shevach that's accrued because of the item that was stolen, that stays by the Gazlan. Again, it may seem a little bit unfair, but that's the halacha. At least that's the simple reading of our Mishnah. So now, Amar Leis, Rav Nachman says to Rav Allah, Amin Alach, Yasvin, Abedin, Alo, Temeli, Midi. So Rav Nachman says to Rav Allah, I'm right now in the middle of din. Do not bother me. Meaning, if you want to ask me questions afterwards, that's fine. But you can't ask me questions right now. Da Amar, Huna, Chavrin, Elai, Anash, Varamaka, Ache, Bedina. So, Hai, Inish, Gazana, Da Atika, Hu, Beina, Da Aknese. Rav Nachman says, first of all, me and Shvor Malka Ache Bedina, we're like brothers in din. Shvor Malka is a reference of Rav Nachman makes regarding Shmuel. He describes Shmuel, he refers to Shmuel as Shvor Malka. Shvor Malka is a king. Okay, and he's not saying that Shmuel is in fact Shvor Malka. He's just simply saying that Shmuel, as far as his ability to judge and the fact that his judgment is accepted like a king. A king makes a proclamation, a law. So in other words, it's law. That's it. That's the law of the land. So when Shmuel makes a ruling, it's ki'ilu, it's the law, that, meaning that's it. And Rav Nachman says, and I'm the same. Okay. So, right. And that's number one he says to Rava. So in other words, he says to Rava, like, now's not the time to challenge me. You want to understand me? You can come back to me later. But now's not the time to challenge me. That's number one. And number two, you want an explanation? I'll give you an explanation. Meaning, you're right. The simplest reading of the Mishnah is that the Gazan doesn't have to return anything above the value of the item that he stole. Any Shevach is going to stay by the Gazan. You're right. That's a simple reading of the Mishnah. It happens to be that in this particular case, we're dealing over here with a repeat offender. This guy has been stealing for years, and I've had it with this guy, and he needs to be constant. I need to penalize him, and that's what I'm doing right now. So you have to look at each case individually. And right now, in other words, number one, don't challenge me right now. And number two, in terms of an explanation, so a repeat offender, this is a kenas that I'm imposing on him. We are at the Mishnah, Sadi Zion. Sorry. We're in the Mishnah, Sadi Vav Amud Beis. Galzabay Mavizkino Avad Mavizkino. Misham Kishasek Zela. So, I know we just kind of went over this point, but here's the Mishnah teaching us this very yisod, which is that if I steal an animal and the animal ages while I stole it, meaning I have not returned the animal for some time and it ages, how much does it have to age? Well, we already got a whiff of that just minutes earlier in the beginning of today's daf, but the Mishnah is telling us that if the animal ages, alternatively, if I steal somebody's Evet Kenani and the Evet Kenani ages, so now I've acquired the animal Evet Kenani. How have I done so? With a shinui. It's not the same. It's not the same. It's older. It's an older version. Rabbi Meir Omer ba'avadim amala reshul chalafanecha. Rabbi Meir says that when it comes to avadim ha'reshul chalafanecha, you return the eved, even though it's 10, 20, 30 years later, you return the eved kenani with the understanding that this is the eved that I stole. I know it's 30 years later, but here's the eved that I stole, ha'reshul chalafanecha, and you're fine. And you do not have to evaluate the eved at the time that you stole it. You could just simply give the eved as is. Why should that be? We are going to discuss that in just a moment. Other examples of the you've acquired it via shinui, and now returning the item is unacceptable, and now you must be returning the value of the item. So three quick examples here in the Mishnah. So you stole a coin. The coin physically cracked. You stole fruit, it rotted. You stole wine, it soured. In all these cases now, you've acquired it via shinui, misham kshasek zela. So no longer can you just simply return the item, but you have to evaluate and return the valuation of the item, going back to the time in which you stole it. And now we're going to go over a series of examples where no physical change is made to the item. And so because no physical change is made to the item, you can return the item as is. Sounds reasonable, right? In every one of these examples, there was no physical change to the item. But in other words, but the item is no longer serviceable. You'll understand in just a moment. So let's say, for example, you stole coins and nifsal. Out of circulation, it's no longer, the currency is no longer current. Okay? In my short lifetime, so Baruch Hashem, I've seen this happen a number of times in a number of countries. Israel did this, not in the recent past, but in other words, right? The right Shekel Chadash in Israel. And it's,
before they changed from Lira to
Shekel. Right.
Europe.
Brazil did it in my lifetime.
Europe
did. Okay, good. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
No more asamim.
Right.
Right.
The in Brazil, I have cousins in Brazil. In Brazil, so when I was a kid, it was a Cruzeiro, and now it's a Real. Oh, anyway, it doesn't matter. So if the Eved, in other words, according to Rabbi Meir, you're asking me. Okay. Hold. Right. Hold that thought. We'll come back to that. I'm not sure if I'm going to answer it, but we are going to come back to it. So let's say you have a coin. You stole the coin, and it's no longer current, or truma of an itmes, or let's say I stole truma from a coin, and now it becomes tameh. So or alternatively, chametz vavelava pesach. I steal somebody's chametz, and now pesach comes and goes. So behem of an isav de ba'avera. Let's say I steal an animal, and an avera occurred with this animal. The animal was involved in bestiality. The animal was used for avodah zarah. So now the animal can no longer be brought as a karban in either of those circumstances. Or let's say, for example, I steal an animal, and it gets a really subtle mum, which doesn't really change the animal, but renders it disqualified for the mizbeach. Or after stealing the animal, it is now killed and therefore going to be sent to be stoned. So, Omer la ha'arei shalcha. In every one of these circumstances, because I can give the physical item back, even though it has lost utility, I could say ha'arei shalcha lefanecha. What in halacha we describe this as is hezek sheino nikar. In other words, there was damage, but it wasn't physical damage. It was a status damage now that limits its utility. Nevertheless, from a gzela standpoint, I've satisfied the pasuk of Beheshef as a gzela, considering that I did return the item that I actually stole, even though it is significantly diminished in what I could do with it. Right? Chamish avar alav pesach. Just if we could just highlight this point as best as I can. Chamish avar alav pesach is amazing. In other words, chamish avar alav pesach is aser ba'achila. It's aser ba'hana. Right? A shor haniskal is aser ba'achila. Aser ba'hana. And so what I'm giving him, even though I'm giving him the physical item, how much value does that item have? The answer is very clear. Zero. It has $0 value. But nevertheless, because I can return the item as is, so therefore, ha'arei shalcha lefanecha. Obviously, that's tremendous chiddush, but that's exactly the point of the Mishnah.
It might even be a burden. That's even worse. It might even be a burden. Because it has zero value.
Yeah.
And the babais, the digital, cannot have no use
for it. Good.
Why would he need it back?
Perfect. All right, perfect. Right, Amar Papalo is kinis kinam Amishal afilo kachsha. So now on this idea that we're talking about aging. So what does that mean, aging? Right. In other words, I understand the concept, but that's a loose term and it needs better definition. So our Papa says that when we say hiskina, we don't mean hiskina, right? Which means that you're going through significant aging. Even as I say that, I don't even know what that means. But in other words, it doesn't have to be that dramatic. So in other words, what happens is that it's just weaker. It's weaker. The Gemara says, okay, but that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says that it aged, either the animal or the Evikinani. So the Mishnah is just using a template. The Mishnah is just simply saying it aged. But in other words, what's the characteristic of aging? In other words, you get weaker. Okay, it happens. In other words, that's called life. So the truth of the matter is, Hiskina is an example, And Kachsha is another example of that as well. Amalei Markishi Shabrei Rav Chisel Rav Ashi Achi Kamei Mishmei De Rabbi Yochanan Afilu Ganav Tlev Nasa Ayol Egel Vanasa Shor Nasa Shinu Biado Ukenao Tavach Hamacher Shlo Tovechu Shlo Hamoche. Now I know it sounds awfully familiar what I just read because I just read this before the Mishnah, but okay. But in other words, but now that we learned the Mishnah together, that Zikna is considered a Shinui. So now we're going to go over. Give me a very practical example. What does that look like? So when it comes to an animal, so Tlev Anasa Ayil, right? That's only 1 year later. And yet, that's Zikna. So Amar Leilav Aminalach Lo Tachli Gavrei. So Ahu Mishmei De Rabbi Elai Itmar. So to which the Gemara says, okay, you're right, but you're wrong. Meaning the halacha you're saying is correct. Meaning a 1 year matriculation of the animal graduating from being a Tlev to an Ayil is in fact considered a Shinui. And you don't get to say Haresha Cholafanecha. You're right about that, but what you did get wrong is that you got the name wrong. So the you said it over in the name of Yochanan. It was not in the name of Rav Yochanan. It was the name of Rabbi Eli. Okay. In other words, attribution is obviously important. Rabbi Meir Omer Bava Demar Melacha Haresha Cholafanecha. Okay. So you steal an Eved, the Eved ages. So is that a shinui? So in our Mishnah, we have a machlokus. By Behema, there's no machlokus. Zikna is shinui, and therefore you're kona, and therefore you have to pay kishas akzela. That is absolutely the halacha when it comes to an animal. What about nevekanani? I steal nevekanani, only returning it 10, 20, 30 years later. So is that considered a shinui? So that's a machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Meir. Tanakhama says it's a shinui, and Rabbi Meir says it's not a shinui, and you just return the Eved, even its older state, and say, Haresha Cholofanecha. So, Amar Rav Chanina Barvim, Amar Rav Halachika Rabbi Meir. So, point number one is that Rav says Halach is like Rabbi Meir. And to which, the obvious question. The Rav Shavik Rabban Vavika Rabbi Meir. So, why would you do that? In other words, as far as halachic principles are concerned, halachic rulings are concerned, you follow the majority, you do not go with the minority. So, Amar Misham de Braisev Chatanya. So, the Gemara says, yeah, but what Rav had at his disposal is he had Mishnayos. He also had Braisos as well. And the Braisa flips the Shitas. So that in the Braisa, Rabbi Meir is the Chachamim, and the Chachamim is Rabbi Meir. Okay. So, V'Rav Shavik Masisim Vavika Braisa. So, next follow-up question. Okay, so now I have two variations of how this halacha is presented. Version of the Mishnah, version of the Braisa. Ah, so Rav goes with the version of the Braisa and not the version of the Mishnah. That's weird. So, Rav Masisa Nami Ebchetani. So, Rav had a reversed version of the Mishnah. What I read today in the Mishnah is not Rav's Mishnah. It's our version, but it's not Rav's version. Rav had the flip version. Now, one more step in this discussion, and that is that I didn't present it perfectly accurate, meaning the Gemara at first thought that Rav himself flipped the Mishnah. But the Gemara then clarifies, no. What Rav did is that Rav actually had a girsa of the Mishnah that was flipped. Alternatively, what you could say is that Rav had the version of the Mishnah that we had. He himself flipped it for a brisa. No, flipped it for two brisas. Rav had not one, but two different brisas that taught us the reverse positions of our Mishnah. Rav now has enough evidence that led him to the conclusion our Mishnah must be corrupted. Our Mishnah needs to be flipped. Ditanya, okay, a lot of discussion about Girsa, what's the right version of our Mishnah, but obviously its significance is that you're going to side with the Chachamim, you're not going to go with Rav Meir, so obviously it's important to know, what does the Chachamim say? You steal an Evikanani, it advances in age. Can you return the older Evikanani, yes or no? It's a very straightforward halachic issue. And now, according to the Chachamim, our Mishnah says the Chachamim say, no, you can't. And in Rav's version, the Chachamim said, yes, you can. Ditanya, what Braisa are we referring to? In other words, we kept describing this Braisa. So now, an introduction to the Braisa. Hamachlif par bechamor v'yalda v'chenem ocher shivchaso v'yalda. So we do a barter, right? It's in halach, it's called chalipin. But chalipin is a little bit confusing because there are two versions of chalipin. But over here, we're saying chalipin as a barter. Okay, and so what do? We do an exchange. I got a donkey, you got a cow. Okay, I could use a cow, you could use a donkey. We barter. Why are we giving this example of kinyanim? It's very simple. Because when I give you the donkey, you've acquired the cow. Normally, when it comes to metaltalin, how are you koneh with Mashicha? Over here, when it comes to bartering, so the kinyan is done. Once one of the items is exchanged, the other item automatically is acquired. Now, why is that important over here? For the following. So what happens is that we agree to terms that my donkey for your cow, right? Fair swap? Sure. Good. A trade. And now I gave you the donkey. That means that even though my cow, even though the cow is sitting in my property, the moment that you get the donkey, it's no longer my cow. It's your cow. So far, so good. Now it happens to be that in this particular case, what happened? The cow is pregnant and the cow gave birth. Sometime during the exchange. Now it's obviously significant to know, was it before the exchange or after the exchange? Ah. So now the Brisa tells us the following. Ze omer b'shus yaldav halashosek zachaba. One says that it gave birth while it was in my possession. The other one says nothing. Shtika. Okay. So at that point in time, now the way Rashi presents this Gemara over here, that this is a case of Bari Veshema. And when I have a claim of Bari and I have a claim of Shema, so the Bari claim is going to beat the Shema claim. That's the way Rashi presents it. Tosus disagrees. Anyway, let's just say it like Rashi. Now, if both of them claim ignorance, I don't know, so then the baby is going to be divided between the two. Okay. The Gemara, not here, elsewhere. Bab Mitzia, it sounds like a Sumchus idea. Okay, anyway, again, not for us because it's not our point. Here we go. Now, let's say each one of them claims with certainty that when did the cow give birth? When it was in my possession. In other words, obviously the owner of the donkey is saying, now it gets confusing because there was a barter. I'm talking about the original owner. The original owner of the, let's start with the original owner of the cow. The original owner of the cow says it gave birth before the trade. And the owner of the donkey said, no, it gave birth after the trade. Okay, so, and each one of them is saying it definitively. So now, Yishava Amochir Shebir Shusu Yalda, Lefisha Kol Nishbaim, Shebetara Nishbaim, Vela Meshamim, Divrei Rabbi Meir. So Lefishi does Rabbi Meir, so what's going to happen now is that we're going to have to have a Shvuah. Who's going to make the shvua? Well, every time the Torah requires the shvua, min ha-Torah, there are only three shvuas min ha-Torah. But every single one of them, it's a shvua so that I don't have to pay. Shvuas min ha-Torah are defensive. Always. Now, there are a couple of exceptions to the rule where there is a shvua and you go ahead and you collect. But that's midrabanan, and those are rare exceptions. But the rule is, however, is that if we have to choose which one of them is going to make a shvua, so the shvua is going to be made by the one who is not going to pay. So that is the divrei Rabbi Meir, that's Shitas Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim amrim nishbam lo al avadim v'lo al karkaos. And Shitas Chachamim is, no, you don't make a shvua. Why? Because this is litigation over over an eved. And because remember, there are two cases over here. One case is, we're debating about the para giving birth, and the other one is we're debating whether when the shifcha gave birth. Okay, so the shifcha obviously is an eved kenani. The eved kenani, do you make a shvua an eved kenani? The chachamim say no, you don't. Why? Because an eved kenani is karka, and you don't make a shvua on karka. So another very basic rule regarding shvuos: ein nishban al karkaos. And since an eved is hukash lekarka, you don't make a shvua on an eved as well. So according to the Chachamim, an Eved is Karka vis-a-vis the Halachas of Shvua, and therefore there is no Shvua. Good. So what did we just learn together? We just learned together that Lefishitas Chachamim in this Braisa, so an Eved is like Karka. Now let's take that idea and let's bring it back to us over here. I stole somebody's Eved Kenani. Okay, it's 30 years later. He's 30 years advanced in age. He's Zikna, or in this case, Zakein. Now, can I return him as is? Well, it's very simple. I mean, not that simple, but it's pretty straightforward. If Eved has the same status as Karka, what's the halacha regarding Karka? Karka ain't an exalus. Meaning, even though I physically stole Karka, but there is no gzela when it comes to Karka. This idea will be explained better in the 10th parak of Baba Kama. But that's the rule, that there is no gzela when it comes to Karka. Karka ain't an exalus. If Eved is like Karka in this regard, so the same thing is going to be true regarding Eved. I stole the Eved, but me Iker, I didn't. There's no kinyane gzela. I'm not a gazlan halachically, and therefore, I just simply return the Eved Kanani, even though it's 30 years later, even though I'm giving a weaker version back. So, according to the Chachamim, once Eved is like Karka, so therefore, I could just return the Eved as is. Ah. And then now, in this version of the Braisa, now it's interesting, by the way, the Braisa over here is not talking about Geneva, it's talking about Shvua, but in other words, but the point being made, that once we know the Chachamim say that Shvua, I'm not going to be making a Shvua on Eved, because Eved hukash karka, so now we're going to take that Hekesh and we're going to apply it to Gzela as well, that since Eved and Karka are equivalent, and since there's no Gzela by Karka, there's no Gzela by Eved as well, and therefore 30 years later, you just return the Eved. Good. That's what we just learned together in the Braisa. And in this Braisa, who is espousing this viewpoint? The Chachamim, which led Rav to the conclusion, the halacha is like the Chachamim. So, hi, halachika Rabbi Meir, halachika Rabbanami Baile. All bringing us now back to one simple question, which is, so Rav, you said the halacha is like Rabbi Meir, but that's misleading. Because you, Rav, are of the position, that's not really Rabbi Meir Shita. It's really the Chachamim Shita. So, okay, so the Gemara says, yeah, but all Rav meant was, is that, look, I know your version is Rabbi Meir, I'm speaking to your version. My version is that's a Chachamim. But if I can be clear, obviously it was challenging to be clear, because we just deliberated this point for the last 10 minutes, but to be clear, the halacha is like what you call Rabbi Meir, what I call the Chachamim. Okay, so, quickly, and just to say it now all really simply, so according to Rav, the halacha is that if I were to steal an Eved Kanani and return him 30 years later, here's your Eved Kanani. But it's not the same. It is significantly diminished in its strength 30 years later. So, right, you stole the Eved when he was 50, now you're returning him when he's 80. It's not the same. So, nevertheless, you can return it. But don't we say that that's a Shinu and a Shinu is Kona? Yeah, but not when it comes to an Eved. Why? Eved hukash lekarka.
So he always belonged to the owner.
Always belonged to the owner. That's correct.
So that's why you return it.
You return it. Umi amar Rav Abdi kemekarke dami v'amar Rav Daniel bar Ketina amar Rav Atuke ba'avdo shechaver v'asa ba'malacha pater. So the Gemara says, really? An Eved is like karka. So consider the following, a halacha that's said over in the name of Rav, which is toke ba'avdo. I go to my neighbor's house and he has an Eved Kanani, and what do? I grab his Eved Kanani, force him to work for me. Okay, not nice. But we're learning halacha together. So, in other words, we're beyond not nice, and we want to know what is the din. So the din is as follows. So now, when I return the Eved Kanani to my neighbor, and now he takes me to court, so how much do I owe him? Zero. Now, if at this point in time you're thinking to yourself, how could that possibly be? Meaning, I have gained from my friend's property. How can I owe him zero? So am I potter? So Bereshusa Demari Kai? So the Gemara says, now, I don't understand. In other words, how could I be potter? In other words, whose Rishus was the Eved under when I took him? Okay, now, I'm going to say this as clearly as possible, and I understand this is really subtle. This is unbelievably subtle, but it's just simple pshat in the Gemara. So I'm going to try to be as clear as possible. Okay. If Eved is not like Karka, when I took the Eved and had him work for me, so who is the Eved working for? The Eved was working for me. We're almost there. We're not there yet. I'm right now at this step of the Gemara. So who is the Eved now? The Eved now is my Eved working for me. Now, I say my Eved, by the way, I know, and this is why it's subtle. I'm a gazlan. What I did was wrong. I understand all that. But in other words, but the Eved now has worked for me. So the, and now, if that's true, so in other words, those were services that were given, that those were services of something that, again, belong to, I'm using that term loosely over here, services that of something that belong to me, and obviously I have to pay for that. Ah. But if Eved and Karka are equivalent to one another, so if Eved and Karka are equivalent to one another, so the... No. Okay. Do me a favor. I said it, and now that I'm thinking it through, I didn't say it correctly. Let's do that again. Let's do it correctly. Okay. And I know this is such a subtle point. Okay. And I just tripped up on it. Let's do that again. When I steal somebody's Eved, and Eved is not Karka, so now, any work that the Eved has done, the Eved's work has done for me. This is Shevach al gabi gzela. Right? Remember we learned this in yesterday's daf? Shevach al gabi gzela. So if now
it's for me.
In other words, I'm the one who stole the Eved, and he's working for me. That's Shevach al gabi gzela. So if the item is a stolen item, so now he worked for me. So now do I have to pay? No, I don't have to pay. Shevach al gabi gzela. Yesterday's Gemara, I don't have to pay. But if Eved and if Eved's like Karka, and I stole, and now I stole, so but if Eved's like Karka, did I steal?
No.
I can't steal an Eved. So whose Eved is it the whole time? It's his. And I've now gained services from that Eved. You don't think I have to pay? Of course I have to pay. Of course I have to pay. Right, right? Yeah. So it's what we'll get. I'm avoiding that word rental because, in other words, you didn't rent it. In other words, you stole it. But again, if halacha is viewing that this is not a gzela, so now it's not mine. In other words, I don't have kinyan gzela. It's not shevach agab gzela. And therefore, I should pay. Okay. That's what the Gemara is thinking right now. That's the Gemara's kasha. Amai pata b'rishusa demarikai. So hachem amai tkin shalom b'shas malacha. So the Gemara says like this. Really, Eved and Karka are one and the same. And really, I didn't gazlan. And really, I should pay. But you know what? I stole the Eved at a time where the Eved Kanani was off. Now, this idea of the Eved Kanani being on versus the Eved Kanani being off, I guess it's just minuk, meaning when does he work, when does he not normally work. But in other words, I took him during his dinner break. Okay? I took him at a time when he was not working. And so since I took him at a time when he's not working, so now what? Even though Eved and Karka are one and the same, and even though it's not mine, and I don't have kinyan gzela, and this is not shevach agab gzela, I don't have to pay. Why? Now we're going to say it. Because zen en vezelo chaser. I didn't take him at a time when he should have been working for the original owner. I took him at a time when he was off. And so now he was at his leisure, and he didn't have to work at that moment in time. I grabbed him. I had him work for me. Zen en avizelo chaser. I benefited. He didn't lose. So the Gemara says, "Hachem ayimai skin shalav b'shas malacha ki hadushachlei Rabbi Abba Lamari Barmar by me name Rav Huna hadar b'chatzah chaver shalom idato tzarch la'alos uschar ina tzarch la'alos uschar v'shachulei ina tzarch la'alos uschar." And we go back to the Gemara on Chaf Aleph. Remember, this is one of the most basic sugyas here in Baba Kama that we get to review here on Daf Tzadi Zion. And that is, Zenen of Zelo Chaser. I go ahead and squat in somebody's house. The house is empty and I'm living in it. And now do I have to pay him or do I not have to pay him? So this is an example of Zenen of Zelo Chaser. I benefit, he didn't lose out. It's an empty home. What's the big deal? So now it is... It is a big deal to go into somebody's house without permission. But in other words, and Tosos back there in Chafal talks about, this is not a din lechatchila, this is not ideal, this is bidi eved. But regardless, the point is, however, is that I don't have to pay. Because then enev is a lochaser. So over here, if I took the eved, my friend's eved kanani, at a time when he wasn't working, so I benefited and he didn't lose out. So Hachi Hashta, the Gemara says, that's a strong argument. And it seems to be a bold argument. He didn't lose out? So now, hachi ashta bishlam ha'asam. So, bein laman da'amar beisam yasu yasiv, nichalei. Bein laman da'amar shiyo yukashar nichalei. Look, when I'm squatting in somebody's house, you know what? In other words, I'm doing the guy a favor. Now, please don't take me super literally over here, but there is an assist in that. When you're in somebody's house, or when you're in anybody's house, and there's a leaky faucet, all right, or there's a screw that needs to be tightened, I'll take care of it. In other words, so there is some benefit, nominal, if you will, but there is some benefit when I'm squatting in somebody's house. Or, she is yukashar. Remember, an empty house. So there's shadim in an empty house. So and there's going to be physical or metaphysical damage that occurs to the house, which will be avoided if I'm there. Okay. So there is some benefit that you can point to when I'm squatting in somebody's house. But over here, I took your Eved Kenani. I had him work for me. Meaning, Elahacha, Minichale Denechush Abdei. In other words, I'm tiring your Eved Kenani out. He's got only a certain amount of energy. And I know it's his leisure time, but you know why it's his leisure time? It's his leisure time so he can rest. And that, in other words, so he'll regain his energy. And now I'm taking him during that period of time and I'm going to be working him more. The Gemara says, no, it can't be. It can't be that we're going to apply the principle of Zenena Vizelo Chaser. What does that mean, Zelo Chaser? Meaning he didn't lose at all. Over here, you're really going to argue he didn't lose at all? So the Gemara says, yeah, we'll make the argument. It's a bold argument, but we're going to make it. Amri Hachanami Nichale, the Lolistere Avde. The Gemara says, yeah. Because you know what happens is that if you get used to not working, so then you become lazy. Okay? In other words, the Gemara over here, really penetrating into human nature, and that is that when you are not working, you get used to not working. And so that will encourage only more laziness. And to which the Gemara now is arguing, it really is a case of Zenena Vezelo Chaser. And by the way, just the boldness of the argument of the Gemara over here, It's even a little bit better than Zelo Chaser. In other words, if you give him too much time off, the Evan's going to become even lazier. I'm saying this not as strongly as I mean it, but I don't mean it as strong as I'm saying it, but I'm doing you a favor. Okay. Right. Okay. So fine. So unbelievably, right? We just learned together that when I steal an Eved Kenani and have him work for me, I don't owe the owner anything. Okay. In other words, even though there was, I clearly received a benefit, but I don't owe him anything because this falls into the category Zenene Vezelo Chaser. Why? Because I took him at a time when he wasn't working. Ah. Okay. Yeah. Brings us now to an unbelievably interesting discussion. Let's begin. Bei Rav Yosef Bar Chama. Okay, the house of Rav Yosef Bar Chama. So they were creditors, and they had a guy who owed him money. Okay, I'll dramatize just a little bit. They're schlepping in terms of paying me back. Okay, so what Rav Yosef did is Rav Yosef went into their property, took their Eved Kenani, and had them work for him. So the creditor took the borrower's Eved Kenani, and the creditor said, okay, no, you'll come work for me for a little bit. Returned them a little bit later. So Amalei Rabba Berei, my time Avin Marhachi. So his son said, why did you do that? Okay. The Gemara in Kiddushin, we learned together. When the son corrects the son's got to be careful about correcting the father. Okay, but anyway. But over here, what is the issue? The issue is that when somebody owes you money and you get any additional benefit, we have a word for that. It's called ribbis. Right? That's interest. So over here, you're going to your borrower, taking his Eved Kenani, using their Eved Kenani for their services. That's interest. You can't do that. So Amarle Damar Rav Nachman Avdanuhum Kreisa Lo Shave. So he says, I didn't really gain. When I took the Eved Kenani, had them work for me, you know, I fed them. And you know, the amount of money that I spent on food, more it was greater value than the services provided. Some employer. So Amarle, Emadam Rav Nachman Kagon Daru Avde, Demarake Bekuve, Kul Avde Mavde Avde. And further pushback, Rav Nachman was making that statement regarding his very own Evan. Perhaps one of the funnier lines you're going to be hearing in Shas, and that is Rav Nachman was dismissing the value of an Evan, he was dismissing the value of his Evan. Rav Nachman felt about his Evan that he was useless. Useless. In fact, his Eved, by the way, his name was Daru. So his Eved, so what would he do? So he would go to the local bar, dance in the local bar. So so for the entertainment that was provided, he can go ahead and get drunk. So Rav Nachman's Eved Daru was, again, according to Rav Nachman, useless. And therefore, I don't know. So We have a lot of Rav Nachman in today's daf. It's so interesting. Anyway, but that's not the norm. The norm is that Nebuchadnezzar's services are going to exceed their value in whatever food that you provide for them. And by the way, obviously, meaning you're not having an Ebekanani so that you could spend more than what you return in terms of services provided. So in other words, no, the son is pushing back on the father, right? You're the lender. You can't go ahead and go to the borrower and take his Ebekanani, use the services and make the argument, I'm not really getting value. Of course you're getting value. So Amar Le, Anakar of Daniel Svirli, the Amar of Daniel Barkatini, Amar Rav, So he says, okay, you're right. But in other words, when did I take the Evikanani? I took the Evikanani when he wasn't working. And this falls under the category. Okay. So Armale Hanimile Masik Buzuze, Mar came into Masik Buzuze, Mexicaribis. So the son said to the father, yeah, you know, you're right. But appearances over here. Meaning, you're right. This is Zanen Evezelo Chaser. You're right. But in other words, but once you're taking the borrower's Evekanani and using him, and even though halachically you're not getting value, this is Zanen Evezelo Chaser. So, well, it's kind of hard to say, by the way. You are getting value, but he's not losing out. So even though that's true, but Mechze Karibis, the appearance of Ribis, and that is problematic. Right, we'll come back to this point in just a moment.
He's working to get equal to the amount of money that he owes, no?
And
that, so it's not
business. In other words, he's doing it. It's hard to talk about motivation, but in other words, he's annoyed. He's annoyed that the bar has not paid him back, and is he looking for any form of compensation? No. In other words, he's arguing Zenenev is a lo chaser. There's no loss for him in me doing so. So, in fact, in other words, squatting in someone's house. We said you don't have to pay when you squat in someone's house. That's true. That's the halacha. Zenenev is a lo chaser. But let's say you're squatting in somebody's house and that somebody happens to be somebody who owes you money. You can't squat in their house. Then you're going to have to pay. Why? Mechze karibis, it looks like ribis. Even though lo chaser, it doesn't cost him one penny to go ahead and allow you to sit in his empty home. It doesn't cost him anything. Nevertheless, Zenenev is a lo chaser. Despite the fact of Zenenev is a lo chaser, but because he owes you money, it's mechze karibis. It looks like interest, and therefore you have to pay. So Amalei Hadrabi. So Rav Yosef says to his son, "You're right." Your point is excellent.
It's like chashad, right?
Right, correct. It gives off the appearance of ribbis, and therefore you cannot do it. Okay, we just learned together in our Gemara that when somebody owes you money, so any benefit, even if it's a non-value benefit, cannot be received from the person who owes you money. Because mechzik ribbis. And so, Tosfos over here, it's really important, but I'm highlighting right now. Okay, fighting against the clock. But highlighting right now, Tosfos over here points out that when somebody owes you money, there's literally no exchange that can be made whatsoever. In other words, I can't go over and borrow something from that somebody if he owes me money. And Tosfos points out it doesn't seem to be that way. And he cites Gemaras. Anyway, Tosfos over here discusses, when would it be okay for a lender to get any kind of benefit whatsoever from the borrower? Is there ever any kind of pleasantry exchange that can be done between lender and borrower? Or literally there has to be like the stoic relationship between the two of them where the lender can't get anything from the borrower?
Even Shalom Aleichem.
Right? Correct. Good. See Tosfos over here, second Tosfos who discusses this. And makes chilukim. There are two chilukim the Tosfos makes, but we're going to go on. Itmar.
The thing with the grabbing of the slave, right? The owner is really may not be consenting to that. The fact that he's not consenting doesn't mean that he's getting driven. I mean, if you know what I'm saying, like
if it's b'shas malacha, so then absolutely you're causing a loss to the individual, and that is a value, and then it's not mechze karibis, it's ribis. So Hedy's making a point which I'm also like in my head I'm also struggling with as well, meaning he's not losing, but I'm gaining. So can that gain now offset from the loan?
That's why it's mechzer.
No, the Gemara is very clear. The Gemara is saying it's mechzer karibis, meaning even though I'm gaining, it's there's no offset off the loan. But I'm just wondering, though, in other words, this is Hedy's point.
If you did
meaning not. He's not losing, so therefore it doesn't offset the loan, but I am gaining. In other words, zenene. There is a gain from my standpoint. It happens to be he doesn't owe me money because zelo chaser. So over here, in terms of deduction from the loan, it seems like the Gemara is saying it pretty clearly. There's no deduction off the loan whatsoever, despite the fact that I'm gaining from this. Okay. Itmar tokenes vino social chaver vasabam malach amrav ratzas charnota ratzas pchasa noto shmul amrainu noto el pchasa. I go ahead and commandeer somebody's boat. I do, right. Thank you so much for your boat, and I go ahead and use it. So now, what do I pay? Do I pay rent or do I pay depreciation? So according to Rav, either rent or depreciation, whichever is greater. And according to Shmuel, so no, you only pay depreciation. To which the Gemara immediately says, "Amar Papa lo pligi hadavida la agra hadavida la agra." So the Gemara says, "Okay, well, let's make a clear distinction." One case is, in other words, they're not arguing. One is talking about a case where it was a rental boat. It was a rental boat. So now when I'm commandeering the boat, I'm not commandeering the boat. In other words, I'm basically renting the boat. Okay, now it gets to a tough discussion about, in other words, if it's a rental, I could just simply take it. In other words, I could simply, do I need permission? Right? Do I need, you know, like what kind of agreement do we need in order for me to rent the rental boat? However, according to the Gemara is telling us is that if it's a rental and I go ahead and I use it, so then I'm going to be paying rental. Now, if it happens to be that the depreciation exceeded the rental, so then I have to pay depreciation. But okay, that's a contractual discussion. But in other words, but that's one case. And the other case is all Havdi de la Agra. So Shmuel's talking about a case where it wasn't a rental. So in other words, there was an owner of the boat, and I just went ahead and I took it and I used it. In other words, I'm a gazlan. So as a gazlan, so the shevach we don't have to pay, as we discussed already. But depreciation, of course, you have to pay depreciation. In other words, if the boat depreciated because of the usage that I made of it, so of course I have to pay for that. Okay. Ibai say mahava hadavi de la agra hanachis leidai to the agra hanachis leidai to the gazlanusa. Alternatively, what we could say is that the boat was a it was a rental boat, and it's now just a question of my kavana. If I went, if I use a boat as a rental, so then I pay it as per a rental contract. If I have no interest in renting the boat, I just want to steal the boat, so then I'm a gazlan, even though it's a rental. But if I have no interest in renting, I just had an interest in stealing it, so then I'm a gazlan, and then we're going to treat me like a gazlan. I.e., I paid depreciation. Okay.
Why depreciation? Like the Evan.
Right. So the boat is metalton. I was curious also, Hedy, once again, I was thinking similar. I was curious. In other words, the boat could be argued that it's property. The Gemara is assuming no. Gemara is assuming that the boat is metalton. Evan's property. So that's why the Evan's going to be different. Gezelmat be'ev nistak. Am rav nistak nistak. Mamish nifzal pasal machos. Rav Yehuda am rav pasal machos. Nami hainu nistak. What is a crack coin? So a crack coin is a crack coin. That part's easy. But in other words, that one's easy. And what's nifsal? The currency is no longer current. What I just presented is Rav Huna's version, which is an easy way to read the Mishnah and understand the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda is more nuanced. According to Rav Yehuda, pasalto malchus is also nistak, meaning if our government decided we're no longer using this currency, that currency is no longer current, we're using a new currency, that also falls under the category of nistak. Elahechi dami nifsal. So then according to Rav Yehuda, so then what is nifsal? So pasul medina zuvi yotze be medina acheres. In other words, psul is much more subtle. Psul is that I can't use it here, but I could use it in another country. It still is current somewhere else. Am l'rev chisul rev huna l'idicha damar nifsal psal tam malchus. So first our challenge according to Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that nifsal is that it's no longer current over here. So I don't understand. Peros that rotted, fruit that rotted, wine that soured. So that is, isn't that the same as psul malchus, currency no longer being able to be used over here, and misham kshazek zela. And meanwhile, that's a kinyan. And you have to pay kshazek zela. So amr le, hausam nishtana tam avrecho, hacha lo nishtana. The obvious difference. Fruit that rot, it's a physical change. Wine that sours is a physical change. It's empirical. On the other hand, however, currency, did the currency physically change? No. No. So it's different. So, according to you now, Rav Yehuda, that when the currency is no longer current, that is tantamount to a crack in the coin. So then, how is that different than Truma becoming Tamei, where there's no physical change, and yet, so Amalei Hasam lo minkar hezeka, hacha minkar hezeka. So the Gemara here talks about recognition. Meaning, when it comes to Truma that becomes that became Tamei Pasol, same thing. So is it recognizable? Anyone looking at it, any outsider looking at it, is he going to be able to tell you it's the that Truma is different? No. In other words, you have to know the halacha, you have to know it became Tamei. So in other words, there it really did not go any kind of physical change, nothing recognizable. However, when you have the currency and no one here is using it anymore, that's more recognizable. Okay, Itmar. Hamavas chaver ha-madbeya v'nifsal ha-madbeya. Okay, so you contracted with somebody, the way Rashi describes it over here. This is a commercial transaction. You are buying merchandise and you agreed to the amount that you're going to give and the currency that you're going to use to pay. Okay? And now, and I know the Gemara says the word malva, and that's confusing and leads to a lot of discussion. But consideration of getting through the daf, we're going to present it the way I just did. It's Rashi. We're talking about the purchase of merchandise. We agree to the amount, and we agree to the which currency it is I'm going to pay. Okay, no, I don't follow the NFL that closely. You'll be happy to know, but recently, one player wanted his contract to be paid in crypto. Okay, anyway, so v'nifsal ha-matbeya. So and now that currency is no longer good. So Rav Amar nosal ha-matbeya yosebo so shal shmuel amar yachol amar lo hutzia b'meishan. So now, according to Rav, if you who are paying for the goods, you have to use current currency. Even though you agree that you're going to be using a particular currency, but if it's no longer in circulation, so if you want to successfully pay for the item, you have to use current currency. That's Rav. Shmuel will tell you no. As long as someone's ready to accept that currency, and we agree that we're going to use that currency, even though where we are right now, they're not accepting it, but as long as that currency is valued somewhere else, so then you can go ahead and use that currency. Lech hotzio b'meishan. It's a popular expression of the Gemara. We're on the top of the Amud Beis, and that is go to Meishan, go spend it in Meishan. Meaning that money's good in Meishan. I know we're not in Meishan right now. It's unfortunate. Am Rav Nachman Mestamer Milsa Dishmol Disle Orcha LeMeishan LeMeishan Aval Leisle Orcha Lo. So Rav Nachman now saying, look, I understand Shmuel, but that's only if there's open traffic between here and Meishan, and there's no problem going from here to Meishan. Then I hear the position of Shmuel. But if the border between here and Meishan is closed, and the border patroller is going to take away my currency, and I can't bring the currency over to Meishan, so then Rav Nachman will tell you, then I'm going to be signing with Rav. Eisvei. Yeah, let's do one more round. I know the hour's late. Eisvei Rav Rav Nachman, Mechalin, Almosh, Shein, and Yotzin. So, you want to be Mechal your Meister Sheni, onto money. So you have to use currency which is current. So the Ketzad, Ayulamos, Kuzvaz, Yushami, Oso, Shamalachim, Rishonim, and Mechalim, Hashalachronim, Dumi, the Rishonim, Mechalim. So the Tosefta tells us, this is the Tosefta Meister Sheni. So the Tosefta tells us that what I can't use those old coins, those Kozvios coins. And by the way, the Kozvios coins over here, what are you hearing when you hear Kozvios? Bar Koziva, the other name for Bar Kochva. In other words, the Gemara over here, the Tosefta is referring to Bar Kochva coins. Okay, I'll let the historians work it out. Anyway, you can't use antiquated coins. You have to use current coins. But the Gemara is trying to argue is that Hashal Achronim Dumi Dereshonim Echalim. Now, if they are older coins but have some sort of currency power, so then I could use them. Now, Amar Lehacha B'Maiskin and Kishem Achus Makpido Zoazu. So the Gemara says, no, you don't understand. In other words, that Tosefta is talking about, yes, it's true, I'm using an older form of currency. That part's true. But in other words, but there's no problem trafficking those coins from one country to another country. They don't care. They don't care that you bring coins from this country to that country. And so they're not going to be confiscated. The Border Patrol is not going to take those coins away. That's what the Tosefta is talking about. So the Gemara says, Eliki Amar Shmuel, Kishamachius Makbir Zuazu, Hechimatzi Mamtilahu. So when Shmuel says, go to Meishan. Now you're telling me that Shmuel is talking about a scenario where Border Patrol cares. Well, wait one second. If Border Patrol cares, and you're not going to be able to take those coins to Meishan, because they're going to be confiscated from you, so then the currency is not current. And I don't understand. How can Shmuel then argue, well, go to Meishan? Yeah, try going to Meishan. They're going to take the coins away from you. So So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you how customs work. In other words, when you go to the next country over, so they're not, in other words, they'll tell you, in other words, don't bring coins in. They'll tell you that, but at the same time, they're not going to check. Now, if they do find, so then they'll take it away, but they're really not going to check. Okay, so it's not exactly the tightest customs control. And then, under those circumstances, Shmuel will tell you the argument of go and spend the coins in Meishan, that is a valid argument. On the other hand, if the border control will literally not allow you to bring coins and they're going to inspect everybody, even Shmuel will then tell you that no. Then you're going to have to provide currency that is current locally over here.
The coins in the past have inherent value. They were either made of kesef or something.
Right. In other words, in Bava Metzia, we're going to be discussing this at length, meaning aside from the inherent value, the nature of currency is that everyone accepts it. And so you need something that will be received and accepted by everybody. In other words, it really speaks to the very definition of what currency is. And so over here, yes, it's true that there is metal, there's actual metal and a particular weight. That's all true. But in other words, but it still is definitionally currency. Okay, we're going to pause over here. We did okay. We're almost caught up. Let's quickly recap. That's a lot of Gemara that we covered today. Wow. Okay, we finished up yesterday's topic regarding Shinu and Shinu Ikona. We opened up today's daf. Really, I'm calling it at the beginning the Mishnah on Sadi Vavam and Beis that describes scenarios in which there was a Shinui and therefore you don't return the item, but you have to return its monetary substitute. It's the praise substitute based on Shasek Zela. On the other hand, if there was no physical change in the item, you return the item even though it lost its utility. Chamish Avar Alava Pesach, Shor HaNiskal, and many other examples in the Mishnah where it's the same physical item, but it does not have the same value. And yet you could just simply return it as is. Okay. The first discussion is that when it comes to an Eved, is Eved Hukash Lekarka? It's funny, I didn't mention this in the daf today, but by Kinyanim, everybody agrees, Eved Hukash Lekarka. It just happens to be in other areas of Halacha. Shvua, Gzela, is Eved like Karka? So it's a machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, and Rav tells us the halacha is like Rav Meir. That's strange, but that's the halacha. The halacha is that Eved is like Karka, and therefore, you take an Eved, you're not a Gazlan. I mean, you're not a good person, but you're not a Gazlan, you don't have Kinyana Gzela. Which then brought us to the next discussion of today's daf. And that is that if I take an Eved from somebody, and I use the Eved, and I return the Eved, so I'm not going to have to pay. But why? Meaning that was Gemara's conundrum. Meaning if it's not mine, I wasn't koneg with Kinyanik Zela, so why don't I have to pay? And the answer is because then Enevazelo Chaser, when did I take the Eved? At a time when he wasn't working. And since I took him at a time when he's not working, so therefore, I benefited, but he didn't lose out. Zenene v'zelo chaser. The Gemara wonders, is that really the case of Zenene v'zelo chaser? And the Gemara's answer is, yeah, that really is the case of Zenene v'zelo chaser. Okay, and then our last discussion for today is that what if currency is no longer current? I steal coins from my friend, it's no longer current, can I return the coins? So the Mishnah says that if it's nifsal, but the coins are still current, I can return them. We saw a machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna. What does that mean, no longer current? No longer usable at all, or no longer usable here? That was a machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. And finally, contracted on the purchase of merchandise, where we agreed how much I'm going to pay and which currency I'm going to use, but the currency is no longer current. Can I pay with that currency? That's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And then a further discussion of the limits of Shmuel's position.